How good is that bloody theme tune?
That is brilliant. Spot on.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It's like the F1 theme and the Top Gear music. Like
combined.
Yeah.
It is. It's been done for us by Mr. Russ Cluett, who's at SF Drummer on Twitter. And I've got to say, that is the best thing since sliced bread. I frigging love that. I've been listening to it on my iPhone all afternoon. I am addicted to it. It's superb. Thank you, Russ, for all your hard efforts, because that sounds like a live band almost. It's really, really cool.
Well done, mate. Really good. I did that, but that's really good.
Beautiful. F1, we're here to discuss today's race in Hungary, the Hungaro Ring. That's inventively named racetrack. Couldn't be anything else, could it? And Mr. Button registered a fantastic win for the home soil. Yeah. Britain, huzzah.
It really was brilliant.
It was a hell of a race, I gather. Now, the only problem I've got is I'm doing a podcast on F1 and I haven't been able to watch the race yet. So I am absolutely reliant on the panel that is with me. Joining me, I've got the fabulous Tony Blunt. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. Been enjoying the race. Just watched the highlights again when they're on.
You're an addict, mate. You're an absolute addict, an animal. You're going to be Carl Swagger this evening because we've had some problems with Wirecast.
And you'd have a problem with that.
I think by the end of the show as well, your video is going to be nothing more than your left eye, the way it keeps zooming in.
Yeah, like my Twitter picture used to be.
Yeah, exactly. You should just put that up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
At least everyone would know you. Below him, we've got Sarah, our sysadmin, and also absolute petrol head.
When it comes to F1, yes, and other racing. I'm not so much into...
Did you buy the £20 app this year for all the races and stuff on the iPad?
No.
You didn't?
I buy it on the iPad.
I thought you bought it on your flatmate's iPad last year. No?
No.
All right,
I'll do stuff on the web. But
I've got to say, I'm seriously... I mean, I know it's halfway through the season, but I'm seriously considering dropping the £20 for it. It looks fantastic. It is a great... The official F1 timing app looks excellent. Did you enjoy today's race, girl?
I did indeed, yes, especially being a Jensen fan. I was always pleased to see him win.
Oh, Jensen!
Oh, shut up. I get enough of that from my flat, from my housemate. But yes, I'm a big Jensen fan, always have been. So I was very pleased. I got very nervous towards the end of the race.
We like the Jensen. He's got the right amount of humility in him, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Steve Neighbour.
Hello, sir. How are you?
In the pink room.
In the pink room?
Is that the pink room, no?
This is the top of the house. This is the posh room.
Well out of the way.
I did buy the F1 timing app. I think it was £15-17 about a month or two before the season.
Yeah.
Just have a look how much it is now, but it's definitely worth it. I absolutely love it. It really adds to actually watching it with the timings that the pit crew see.
Yeah.
No, it's a good thing.
Chat room wants the new theme tune as their ringtone. I couldn't agree more. I shall email. Send me an email.
Yeah.
Send me an email, bageltechnews@gmail.com, and I shall reply with the long version attached, if that's okay with Russ. Did you enjoy the race?
Brilliant race.
Brilliant race.
I thought
race.
They were racing on ice for the first 16 laps or so.
I may not have seen the F1, but I did see the Formula 3 this morning. I tuned in. I was doing a bit of work and I had Sky Go on there. Got to say, that's a great recommendation. Sky Go is phenomenal. And I had their coverage of the F3 on there and it looked like a toilet bowl that was being flushed. I mean, it was slick as hell. They were going round and it looked like, I got to say, it looked like the Suzuki Liana off Top Gear, the speeds that they were achieving. And it was really, really bad. Now, there was a minor shower during the F1, wasn't there? But, I mean, did that not really play on anything at all?
It did at the start.
Yeah, it played for the tyre strategies, really, more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, they started on Inters because it was on the edge of being whether it was going to be okay for slicks or not.
Right.
And they were slipping, sliding all over the place for about 5-10 laps. But the first tyre, they just about all made it to first tyre change, and then they all went, pretty much all went on to slicks. But there was that mini shower sort of halfway through the race that rather upset things for Lewis a bit. So
I was going to say, did that put the frighteners on anyone? I knew it had happened, but Steve?
I think I don't know whether Hamilton panicked or so. Halfway through the race, Hamilton was doing well, then had a spin, and I think he panicked immediately in return to that spin and went straight into the pits and went back onto Inters, which might have been a mistake. But the first 20 laps or so were great because you can see that they're just on the edge, the limit of their grip. It's like watching Top Gear when you can see them kind of, it was almost putting the back end and out, going through every single corner. It was more like drifting. It was more like a drifting competition than a Formula One at times.
We were going to pit as well at one point. I can't remember whether he actually did or did he change compound. I can't remember.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Tony, the whole thing, I mean, with things like the Open Championship when it was down at Sandwich a few weeks ago, you know, when it blew a hoolie, people like seeing the professional struggle. I mean, is that the same with F1? They like seeing them put to the test?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who do watch it, you know, quote, for the crash-ups.
No, I don't want to see people crash, but I like seeing them struggle. You know, I like to see the skill being put on display.
Yeah, so, you know, if people do live, it's a spectacle, isn't it? It's like a car going in a straight line or a car, you know, nearly going sideways. You know, which would you rather watch?
Yeah, did you see that? I can't remember which car it was now, the one that did appeared to do the handbrake turn in the pits.
Oh, was it the Virgin?
Hispania, I think it was HRT, I think. One of them, I don't know if you've seen it, Ewan, but he comes into the pits and he slightly slips. And ends up with the back end facing the wrong way up the pit lane in his pit stop.
Did he get some rear tyres on the front?
Wasn't it basically backwards into a pit box?
It was great. He couldn't have done it better if he'd tried.
The thing that I was impressed with, as I said, the first 20 laps or so was kind of wet, but they did turn off the DRS after lap two. So the race director obviously thought, let's have some fun on this. It's not completely dangerous. Let's get them going faster. Let's get some overtaking going on.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by that.
Yeah.
Normally they don't turn it on if it's after the second lap. If it's if there's any element, if it's not fast enough or it's slightly too dangerous and stuff. So I was a bit surprised by Charlie Whiting's decision on that.
Excuse me for being a bit ignorant here. They turn DRS off.
No, they turn it on. They allow it to be used.
DRS gives them extra speed.
Yeah.
So was the DRS zones as normal?
Yep.
Yep. And they allowed it to work. Was Kerr still in force as well?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's fully... So they were almost trying to get a crash at times. It was...
Take an ice rink and put a bit of extra juice on it.
I don't think anyone actually got any benefit
on there as well.
Though.
It was great.
Very liquid on an ice rink.
Heidfeld's curd, didn't it? You know,
the thing is, they were tippy-toeing around
practically.
Say again, Sarah.
Sorry, they were tippy-toeing around so much that it was. I don't think they necessarily. Certainly, at the early part of the race, that I don't think they really got any benefit from it anyway.
Now, didn't Lewis have a bit of problems with his radio as well? Apart from just nearly knocking De Resta off the track.
So he says.
Yeah.
So he said. Yeah.
Yeah, but when they did play his radio, you could only hear the team, and then you could hear like a muffled sound.
Right.
So, you know, apparently that is what it was like. There was some problem at his end, but they never really went into exactly what.
Now, you've got a theory here, haven't you, Mr. Neighbour?
What's that?
About radio transmissions on F1 at the moment.
It was interesting that whether they're correct or not, but the BBC commentary crew, who were brilliant, just said that they believe that the F1 pits teams are now swearing profusely in any messages which are key, because therefore they won't get broadcast over the networks, and therefore the other crews won't hear it. So I'd love to hear the unedited version.
So, you're not hearing anything, are you? That's the whole point.
That could be part of Sky's service. You know, they do the unedited, they broadcast everything.
Yeah, we're going to show all the GPs are going to move after the watershed now. They're going to start at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
UK time.
Dropping the F-bomb.
Well, with the Canadian Grand Prix, that's pretty much what happened.
Call in for a pit. Funny. Did you notice though that Button was the first one in on the pits? He was the first one in lap 12. He was the first one onto slicks. I think he's got guts in terms of in those wet conditions. He definitely, you know, is the first one trying to make the a go of it.
They were comparing him to Senna as well. Yeah, you know, they did bring up Donington 93, didn't they? When Senna did a similar thing, you know, even in the commentary they picked up on that.
Well, to be fair though, he started on his qualifying tyres, hasn't he?
Yes.
He's had to start on the tyres he qualified, so they're probably fairly ripped up anyway before he even comes in. So 12, I mean, I know he looks after the tyres pretty well, but 12 laps in is still enough, I would have thought, if you've got several laps, 10 laps or more under your belt for qualifying.
Yeah, but remember, they weren't caning it because of the conditions.
Yeah.
I was amazed, actually, because I was really watching the lap times, and the first 10 laps in the wet, they were doing a 145s. Then immediately went down to about 130s, 125s when they dried up.
Dude, you're so impressive.
Oh, it's just... Oh, I love the tech stuff.
You love the prep.
I remember Jake said... Martin saying at one point that they were 28 seconds down... Near the start of the race, they were 28 seconds down on the qualifying times. That's how bad it was.
Points from the chat room. Aaron's saying it separates the men from the boys. Much better now without traction control. It's brilliant. And Russ has chimed in with Hamilton probably swallowed his mic in the spin.
Oh, there was one thing you would have liked, Ewan.
Go on.
Today we had a car on fire.
Really?
We had a car on fire.
And an explosion as well.
Oh.
Yeah. And didn't they say afterwards, because they went to the pit garage and it smelt electrical.
How does a fire smell electrical?
Yeah, I saw that. It was on the post-race coverage.
Yeah, I mean...
And it's like, what, you know, I mean, it was Eddie Jordan was going on about it and saying, oh, that smells electrical. And I'm thinking, okay.
So is there, Aaron in the chat room saying that it blew up?
Yeah, what happened?
Came out of the pit lane.
Go on.
I think something. It started in the pit lane. I'm not exactly sure how it...
Yeah, it was smoking when it was in the pit lane, when he was driving out, wasn't it?
Apparently it was because it was there for too long. Apparently it overheated, something overheated or something.
Doesn't sound good, does it? And then he got out of the pit lane and then pulled up on the side. I couldn't believe it. He only just parked it just off the side. He was worried about the flames that were taking over his body at that point.
Is this where the swearing started in the radio transmissions? My arse is hot, I'm leaving. You can keep your car.
It was in German, so it's all right.
Nick Heidfeld, by the way.
These Rustler's burgers don't heat well on the manifold.
He jumped out the car and then it exploded.
The interesting thing is
leaving some debris on the track as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the interesting thing was that when they actually got the fire out, they started dragging the car back up. Because this was on the area where the white line is, where they come back out on the track.
They can move it in the pit lane, can't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but this was outside. It was on the
track. Oh, right.
It was outside the pit lane.
And they started dragging the car back up pit towards the pit lane, and Vettel came out the pits.
Right.
I don't want to say anything libelous.
Go on, but.
I don't want to.
But.
Let's have a look at this. The race director allowed the DRS to be opened on lap two in the rain. Then we had a car that then blew up on the end of the pit lane. And then the race director said, pull it out. Pull it back towards the cars that are leaving the pit lane. And so it was almost as if they were trying to encourage an accident at some points today.
I started watching Grand Prix this morning when I woke up. I had some breakfast, cooked a bit of sausage and some scrambled egg. And I put Grand Prix on the Apple TV in the kitchen. And first scene, James Garner crashing off and flying into the harbour, and his teammate smashing into the wall at the turn out of the tunnel. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe this is an omen. Talking of Vettel, then, has Vettel got a bit of a problem? Because I mean, he's run out, qualified on pole, and then all of a sudden he's nowhere to be found. Really, I mean, he's you know, second, okay. He's extended his lead, okay. But have we got a chink in the armor here, or?
I think it was what I've been tweeting about. This is climatics. The Red Bulls don't do so well as the Ferraris and McLarens in these conditions.
Well, you say that as well, but I mean, one of the things that I've noticed in the write-ups that I've read this evening, waiting to start, is that everyone's saying that the Ferrari's super fast, fantastic, really, really good. But where are they? Where's Massa? I mean, Massa started ahead of Alonso, and Alonso's finished ahead of him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Massa had a few spins as well, didn't he?
A few.
Well,
I don't think he stayed on the track one, really, for the first 20 laps.
When it started to rain again, I think he just caught the white line, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a bad race. Yeah. He did look happy at the very end of the race. I love that section when they all go into the room and they turn the mics up and you listen to the drivers talking. And Alonso was not happy. Button was trying to engage with him, but you could tell he'd had a bad race.
He was just staring into space, wasn't he?
Well, you got to say, you'd take bad and third every day, wouldn't you?
Not if you're Alonso, you don't.
Well, no, but if you're good and third, that's a real problem. But bad and third, you'll take.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, if his car's genuinely performing well, then you would have expected more of him in the position that he started at. I don't know. Yeah. It was Vettel, Hamilton, Hamilton, Button, but you would have thought that the Ferraris would have done more from the position that they had.
I mean, certainly, if Alonso had qualified better, he might have been in a position. But the thing is, because they were all spinning, it was a little bit of a lottery.
I mean, there's a comment in the chat room, you know, Massa's done the fastest lap of the Grand Prix, but one lap out of 70, who cares?
Yeah. It's like you get no points for being one pole, is it?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. It means nothing. Where's Webber? I mean, has Webber got a real issue here? Has he bottled it? I mean, he didn't qualify well in he didn't do well in qualifying. He had the problem of starting pole for the fifth consecutive race and not finishing at the front,
not winning, yeah,
last week. I mean, has he kind of bottled it? Is there something else going on there? Is the Red Bull?
I do feel for him because he's got Vettel the machine on his team. He knows he wants to be the number one driver. He's always had a thing with Red Bull not being the number one driver. They always say that, you know, they are free to race, but I think it is quite obvious that he is frustrated where he is.
No, I think there's no team orders they're saying, but I mean, I kind of got what they were doing last week when they said, you know, maintain the gap. The last thing we want is the two of you driving off. We want at least one of you coming through to finish the race, please. And that's just pure sense.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the same situation at Ferrari, haven't we?
Yeah. But I mean, the problem with Ferrari and Massa was the fact that Massa was actually told to pull over and let Alonso through a couple of years back, wasn't he?
That was last year.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, that was when team orders, yeah, they weren't allowed though, wasn't it? So that again is completely different.
Aaron's Steve's posted the question in the chat room, what was the fastest lap? Aaron's posted back 123.415. Steve, in his bravado here, well done, mate, is that you could do better, but Aaron's retorted with, I have on the PS3.
Well, you know what that means.
What,
challenge.
A Hungara ring?
That's a challenge. I think you two need to sign into the network, have your credit card details stolen, and go head to head on an F1 challenge.
I tell you, the guy I felt sorry for today was Hamilton. It says on my notes here that he was. No, I have got notes.
I know you have. I'm very impressed.
So why did you feel sorry for him, Steve?
Up to lap 43, he was winning, and he looked like he had it in the bag. He span off. I think he panicked a little bit with the rain that had started on one particular corner. He span off, and he got he did a 360. Was it 360, 180?
Well, he did a 180,
yeah.
And then deliberately
back
spun
onto
the
track
in
the rest of his path, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Though the critical moment was on the third stop on lap 40, apparently, when McLaren fitted another set of super soft tyres to Hamilton's car, yeah, while Red Bull's cars stopped on the laps immediately before and after him. There was issues with the radio because apparently as well, Button got an indication to pit and ignored it.
Yeah, because
he wouldn't
have
raced because of it.
If he'd followed the order.
Yeah. So that's good foresight on his part. Quite unsure how he got it.
He's always been good at that, though. He's always been good at, you know, making his own calls of when, you know, when he wants to pit rather than the team telling him.
Yeah.
He's judged that. I think most of his recent wins have been, you know, that's been a factor in them.
Are we seeing a change here that, the you know, the race strategies are more about nursing the tyres a little bit more now than worrying about the pit stop strategy? And that's going to play into Button's hands, Alonso's hands a lot more.
Silence. I'm not sure about the pit stops now in terms of tyres and fuel, and I think I still prefer it when they did have fuel and there was different strategies in terms of fuel as well. But the tyres are interesting this year in terms of super soft and primes and hards and which ones you have to go on. But I'm not sure if it's making the race.
And even, you know, even today in a wet race, you know, some of them were going on to the prime tyres even though they didn't have to use both compound, weren't they, because they didn't have enough sets of the softer ones left to do the whole race.
So is the win for Button just kind of one of those beautiful serendipities because it was his 200th Grand Prix, or you know, was he no one I don't believe for one second that anyone let him win, but
I thought he deserved it. He's an excellent absolutely rider in the West.
It's a hell of a movie script though, you gotta say.
Yeah, it was a bit fairy tale, but you know, you could tell he'd worked, you know, really worked for it. I mean, especially when he was dicing with Lewis, you know, as well as anybody else he battled on the track.
Was that some real racing though?
Oh yeah. They were wheel to wheel. There was quite a lot of wheel to wheel today
between the two of them.
Yeah. Near the start.
There was a big old issue yesterday, wasn't there, about there was a picture sent out on Twitter from someone, I can't remember who it was, but there was a big thing about the two of them hugging in the garage after getting the 2-3 on the start.
Yeah, I think the gentleman will be having a good night tonight. It's 200 for race victory, few weeks off, so I think one of the quotes is that they'll be having a good party and might need the 2 to 3 weeks off to cure his hangover after tonight.
Well, and lose the body weight from the beer.
And the cake. And the cake this weekend.
I mean, 3 weeks layoff, what's going to be the formula for the 3 weeks? Is it going to be intensive practice, intensive trialing? Is the new tech coming in?
For 2 weeks of that, they can't actually do anything, can they? Have to shut the factory down?
Hang on a second. Yep. Go ahead, Sarah.
I was just going to say, there's a 2-week moratorium on any work being done so that the teams can actually have a break, mid-season break.
Yeah, we're halfway through now, aren't we? Just over. You were going to say, Tone?
I was just making the same point about, you know, the factories were being shut down for 2 weeks. It's it is part of regulations, but it doesn't have to be the same 2 weeks for everybody. But you know, they do have to close down.
I can never quite believe this forced shutdown process that they go through at the middle of every season, because all the teams, you can see how desperate they are to do better than everyone else. And and the fact that
they're doing homework,
we're not going to have 2 week holiday, we're not going to do any works at all.
You just don't believe it, do you?
No.
Russ in the chat room's got us down to the natural level. He's saying, have you seen his wife? Of course he's going to have a good night. And Aaron was saying that after the rain, the track went very green and it destroyed the tyres. Those that were on softs really paid the penalty.
That's probably what Hamilton's saying.
Yeah, because he was on softs. Yeah, he got on super softs, didn't he?
There's a tweet from Jensen, by the way. It says, I think that win deserves a little celebration. What do you think?
Have you replied?
I think it's a bit tongue-in-cheek.
My goal is to get an F1 driver on or Brundle on before the end of the year. That's what we need.
Martin on. That would be great.
Yeah. What are you going to be doing? We're going to have the problem with iTunes kicking us off after 6 weeks when we don't do it. Have we got a magic moment from the race, Tony?
But for me, I think it was, you know, the Renault on fire and Hamilton spin. They were the two.
It's the destruction derby. Stuff the race and stuff the Jensen win. It's the destruction part. That's what I like. Sarah, have you got a magic moment?
For me, it was the nip and tuck between Lewis and Jensen in the first few laps. Love that bit.
And Steve, have you got a magic moment?
My favourite bit was Schumacher, the Rain Master, crashing off in the rain and then getting out and saying it was the car that was the problem.
That's classic Chewie, isn't it?
My magic moment of the afternoon was middling only one shot out of several in my 13 runs that I scored. So there you go. Aaron's.
You get a four for it?
No, it was a defensive show. It was crap.
Oh.
The Aaron says the car doing 180 in the pit lane. What's this one about? You've
in the spin.
Oh, in the spin, like he was doing the 180. Got you. Drummer says Coulthard getting upwind and downwind confused on the commentary. What was that one about?
He was talking about that Red Bull had spotters around the circuit downwind to tell where the rain was coming from. It was quite correct, and I don't think you want to be downwind.
No. It's wet, we know.
That's as good as Brundle's Race of the Lap last week.
Race of the Lap, yes, that was a quality one.
And Brundle opening it with the sky is coming, or the sky is closing in. I think he opened up his whole session with that.
Yeah. Well, also, did you see the forum as well, where they had they were with the fans at trackside, and someone actually blurted out, "We don't want it on Sky."
I'm sure they let that one through.
His face then was classic.
I just talk about that for a minute, because obviously going out.
Yeah, big news this week, I suppose.
Yeah,
very big news.
10 races on the BBC, everything on Sky. Don't have Sky. I don't know if I would get Sky to watch the F1, but with the football, you go to a pub on a Sunday afternoon, you know you'll be able to watch the football that's on. I don't think it'll have the same. If you go to a pub, you won't be able to. I don't think it'll be guaranteed that you'll
be able
to watch
the F1. Your problem's going to be your missus is letting you do this podcast and watch the F1 for the purpose of it. She's never going to let you go down the pub, mate, as well as.
I had a good 4 hours off. Family time today to watch the F1, and I took notes to celebrate.
We were taking notes in the pub at this rate.
The one thing I'll say about the Sky issue is I watched the F3 this morning and the coverage was good. The commentator was an arse. You know, it was that kind of, the guy that normally kind of does the motorbike, really nasal and sounds like a two-stroke engine himself. And it was that kind of commentator. But they let the race go. You saw the whole race. There wasn't a huge interruption with adverts and that kind of stuff, which is what killed ITV's coverage of it. It was good coverage. If they could get the BBC format over onto Sky and do it, I've got Sky Sports anyway, I'd be very happy. I wouldn't be bothered at all about the quality of the coverage. But the question is whether people that haven't got Sky are going to buy it.
I've got Sky, but I haven't got Sky Sports.
Would you buy Sky Sports for the F1 coverage?
I hate to say it, I will probably have to, but I was spitting feathers when I heard about this on Friday.
Yeah.
Absolutely cursing, because I resent the fact that I have to pay to watch it. Plus, I don't want to give those Murdochs any more money than they're already getting.
Exactly. But F1's not the crown jewels, is it?
No, it's not. Like football is.
No. There's crown jewel events. So, for example, Olympics can't be sold to pay-per-view television. It has to go to open channel. Wimbledon's one of the crown jewels. That has to stay as well.
So
is the
F1
situation that the BBC are actually going to show it on the web, though? Or
they're showing it in HD on the web through HTTP. They're reckoning that they're going to be able to get an HD feed out to full screen at 1080.
Now, is that going to be on every race?
No, I think it's only the ones where they've got live coverage rights. So it's half.
Yeah, okay. And then what was it, a 75-minute highlight show for the rest of them, sort of a couple of hours after the race.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, I've always been impressed with Sky Sports coverage. I turn, even for the Tri Nations that was on yesterday morning, beautiful coverage, only breaks in the halves. All the rugby league that's on and all the football that's on and that kind of stuff, there's only breaks in the halves. You know, they don't spoil the coverage of sport. I think they really have got that right. It's just whether you feel like you want to pay the money for it. And that's the whole point of them paying probably exorbitant fees to Bernie Eccleston to get the rights, is the fact that they want to attract subscribers. Well, you know, that's business. That's what they do. There was a great quote from someone this morning, I think, was it Brundle? And he said about now that it's gone to Murdoch, they won't have to use the pit radio anymore. They'll be able to just hack their cell phone messages.
But this is exactly why I hate the fact that it's gone to Sky.
Yeah, I don't want to give Murdoch any of my money for anything like that. I'm afraid, not even for F1.
Ewan, you're watching it on your iPad. Is that because you are a Sky subscriber? Is that another option for me, or do I have to be a Sky subscriber to watch it on the iPad?
If you're a Sky subscriber, you have the rights to Sky Go. You've just got to sign up for it, and there's tons of channels on there. Sky Atlantic. So it depends whether you've got desktop or mobile. If you go on mobile, you only get Sky Sports, Sky Movies, Sky News, and the basic Sky packages, Sky One. If you go onto the computer, though, you'll get Discovery and all the other channels that go along with it, and Sky Atlantic, and you'll also get... what's the one I'm thinking of? Oh, it's gone. There we go. You get a lot of other stuff.
I'm also just going to miss the BBC coverage. I think it is absolutely A1 quality, that BBC coverage. And I know Sky will be good, but I don't think they'll get all the same people that make it such an event that it is on the BBC at the moment.
I think the thing that Sky have realised is they've got the F3 coverage and the F2 coverage, so that they're looking to... You know, the support staff that they've got for that is reflective of the fact that, the races are at 8 o'clock in the morning and they've probably got 25 viewers. So the people that are comparing and that kind of thing have got that much notoriety. But if they're going to go to the F1, they've got to be attracting Brundle over there, and Brundle's out of contract. Coulthard's got to go as well as. And if BBC can't afford to hold on to them, then I think that they really are sunk. They've got to have someone very, very special. I mean, the last thing you want is bloody Jonathan Palmer back in.
Did you notice today in the race, they were driving in the wet and Coulthard said something like, "Oh, Button's light on the back of his car is still flashing." That obviously means that he's set his wheel circumference to a wet tyre, even though he's on a dry tyre. And then Brundle went straight in and said, "That type of advice is only from somebody who's recently jumped out an F1 car." I almost thought they were saying, "You should get us, Sky, because we know what we're talking about." Yeah. You could almost hear the advert that they were coming across with.
They've replaced
kicked your little digs like that, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Go on, Sarah.
This is the thing. Why particularly I like Martin is because, I mean, apart from the fact that obviously being a geek, I love the tech side of F1. But when you're listening to the commentary of a race, you'll tell, like there was a thing, I can't remember which race it was, whether it was the German race or Silverstone, where they were listening to a car and they could tell exactly what was going wrong with it or what the issue was with that car or what was happening with it.
Yeah.
That is absolute top notch. You can't, when Murray Walker was doing it, it was great to listen to, but you didn't have that kind of level of detail. And as a geek, I absolutely love that level of detail.
But Murray Walker was just excited.
And Martin, they did that, didn't they, really? When they got together for ITV.
But Murray Walker was just excited. That was it. Yeah. Murray Walker was... the reason that there's no chairs in the commentary position is because Murray Walker won't stand up because he couldn't sit down because he was too excited. Keep the chair in the corner of the room.
It was great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought Murray was absolutely brilliant. But I do like having Martin there. I'm not sure about commentating, but certainly is the expert. I certainly prefer him to DC.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, DC's good, though.
He's okay. And the fact that he's even more recently got out of an F1 car is good.
One thing we haven't got yet is F1 t-shirts in the store. We've got a store, bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk is the place to go. We've got fantastic shirts in there. There's some great ones for the photo show. Steve, have you bought the Hostile Recon shirt?
I'm still working on which one I'm going to get and the colour as well.
I think you've got to get the Hostile Recon one for your walk, because you've got a walkabout with El Mug, haven't you, coming up?
Yeah, we've got a photo walk on Saturday coming.
6th of August.
6th of August.
And are you going to buy a Hostile Recon shirt just in time for that?
I will see what happens.
You can guarantee a rest if you do. we've got some Raw Baby Yeah shirts and some girly shirts, and we've got some guy shirts, and there's plenty for all the shows. Aye, who's calling? That's Tony's back.
Oh, didn't know he'd gone.
Didn't know he'd gone. That's an insult or anything. Hello, Tone.
Hello.
You had a bit.
WB.
You had a bit of trouble then.
I don't know what happened. It just flashed up internet connection problem, although I could still follow the stream.
The key part of the store is if you go to bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk and buy yourself a shirt. There's tons of sizes, there's tons of styles, there's witty stuff, there's bland stuff. But when you buy a T-shirt, £5 from the sale of every T-shirt and £2 from the sale of the mugs goes directly to Bagel Tech. And we'll take that money and we'll put it back into equipment and furthering the support network for the network itself. So every penny that we get goes back into Bagel Tech. £5 for every shirt, £2 for every mug. That's it. If you still think it's too expensive, then you have to blame Spreadshirt, I'm afraid, because there's nothing we can do about the prices that they charge for making the shirts. But they are very good quality shirts. L-Mug use Spreadshirt as well, don't they, Stephen?
Yeah, they are A1 quality shirts. The printing on there is brilliant. They've got some digital technology on the printing. The quality is really good, and the t-shirts feel really nice as well. They're not just crappy t-shirts that you don't want to wear. They are top t-shirts.
Excellent. So there you go, bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk. every time you help us is perfect. When you buy a shirt, you help us. Thank you. The other people that we've got to talk about is UK2. They are the people that keep the network alive. We've had a bit of a splurge on iTunes reviews and downloading through iTunes in the last 24 hours because we've got something coming up that I can't tell you about, but I will tell you about in soon. And I just wanted to make sure that we rode high in iTunes. The problem with that is we're actually redlining on the bandwidth on the server, so I need to make a very apologetic call tomorrow to Craig at UK2 and hope that they don't cut us off. They're fantastic to us. They love us to bits. We love them to bits. They keep us afloat. They pick up all the charges for the bandwidth, the domain hosting, absolutely everything. If you like Bagel Tech, you have to support UK2.net because they're the ones that keep us afloat. They've got some great deals for you as well, as if you want e-commerce, co-location services, all that kind of thing. Go to the Bagel Tech Network site, bageltechnews.com. Scroll down to the bottom and you'll see the UK2 logo in the bottom left hand corner, and when you get and click on that, there's a tracking link on it so that they know that you've come from us. Even if you just want to sign into your account, just do it, and then when you start and buy something, they'll track you through to the shopping cart at the end. Put in the coupon code BAGELTECH and you'll get 15% off everything that you buy. Be careful, because lots and lots of people, we've had another call off them this week, have been buying stuff, going through to the end cart and not putting the offer code in. They're telling us that they want to give you 15%. So you're crazy if you don't get it. Make sure you put that offer code in. BagelTech, all one word. And also, if you've got a Mac, get yourself to screencastsonline.com and sign up with Don McAllister, because he's got some fabulous video webinars there that look great. And there's one at the moment for Lion. If you're having trouble putting Lion on, it's absolutely peachy. He shows you how to put it on an external drive and do a fresh boot. Really, really good. And you get 50% off if you use the offer code BagelTech then as well. Thank you to UK2. Thank you to Don McAllister. Where can we get a hold of you? Tony?
I'm on Twitter as MightyHorse82.
MightyHorse82. Where did the Mighty Horse bit come from? Is that the Ferrari...
Partly that. It's a couple of different things. That's one of them.
Sarah, where can you get hold of you?
You can get hold of me on my website at sarahjaneuk.com or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk. And I suddenly seem to have this huge...
I'm sorry about the big bar across you on the video. I just tried to get rid of it, but I couldn't. I ended up switching it on to Steve. And finally, it looked like Dali. Yeah, absolutely. And finally, Steve, where can we get you, mate?
Clothhead HQ on Twitter. You may find me bagel rolling.
Right.
I haven't got that yet.
Yeah, you've got a bagel rolling app store. There's a big old prize next month. Bagel rolling is something that I've had nothing to do with. It's just kind of evolved. But it's basically people taking pictures of themselves with the Bagel Tech logo in their hand. Carl Bagel rolled MI6 the other day from the opposite side of the river. So that's kind of a bit of a pussy move, but there you go. He'll have to do it from the same side of the river. But the prize for next month is the person that bagel rolls an Apple Store, a Comet, a Curry's, a Dixon's, an internet cafe, whoever gets the most screens in the picture with themselves with the Bagel Tech homepage or a Bagel Tech logo on it, gets a copy of Wirecast free of charge. So there you go. Email the photo into bageltechnews@gmail.com, and whoever has got the biggest number of screens on wins a copy of Wirecast. That's $500 worth of software, so not to be sniffed at.
And there's already one with five screens, isn't there, on the group on Flickr?
Is there? Has one got on this week? Because there wasn't.
Yeah, I thought
there was one screen on last week. Teresa did the first. Teresa did the first one at an Apple Store, but I think it was only just one screen, but that's how I logged in anyway. We'll be back again in 3 weeks' time with F1 after the Spa Grand Prix, and that should be a good one because there's plenty of paces to pass there. It should be super duper. Have a good 3 weeks and we'll see you back then.